Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, and for those of you that were here, the title of the message is Seeing the Unseen. Now about two or three weeks ago, we started and got just about two or three points into the message, and there's about six, and so I'll do my best to get that done today. So in Matthew chapter number 13, if you have your Bible, please, let's stand together as we'll read beginning in verse number 10 through verse number 16 of Matthew's Gospel. Now, the Bible said here in these preceding verses that the Lord Jesus had spoken several parables. And beginning in verse number 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them that is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, for he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them it is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxen gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now Jesus said to these disciples, when they asked him, Lord, why do you speak in parables? And he said unto them, Those that see, see not. Those that hear, hear not. But to you that are children of light, you understand the things of the kingdom of God. Let's pray this morning, would you please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother James Parrish, would you lead us to the throne of grace, please? Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. Hold your Bible open into the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 13. Now, the Lord Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, along with many of the other Gospels, has presented the parables of the kingdom. Now, let me just take a minute and say what he is trying to get across to these folk here. In Matthew chapter number 13, he began to speak about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now, my friend, if you would take a piece of paper and draw a big circle on that and label that the kingdom of heaven, and then inside of that large circle, draw a smaller circle and label it the kingdom of God. For the Bible teaches us that the kingdom of heaven encompasses saved and lost individuals. The Lord's kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that when the fisherman throws it out, he gathers a whole draught of fishes. Some of them he has to separate the good fish from the not so good. He said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins who knew that the bridegroom was coming, but 5 prepared and 5 did not. Five was ready to meet the bridegroom, and five was not. When the bridegroom came, he called, and the five had oil in their lamp, went out to meet the bridegroom. But five that had no oil, the Bible said at the midnight hour, they went out to try to buy oil. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a marriage supper. When a man invited many folks to come in, and he said as they came in, one had not on the wedding garment. The wedding garment was supplied by the man that was having the marriage supper. Here a man came sneaking in into the marriage supper. He had not on the wedding garment. He was confronted. And the Bible said that this man was taken, bound, and cast out into outer darkness. Now, what is the Lord teaching us through the parables of the kingdom? This is what he wants you and I to understand. That in the parables of the kingdom of heaven, there are saved and lost individuals. I believe that in every church, I believe that in every congregation, I believe that across America today, there are many, many that have made a profession of faith, but yet, my friend, they are lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. They've gone through, signed a card, been water baptized, put some money in a plate. They've even come and perhaps prayed a prayer. And yet, my friend, they're as lost as a goose. You see, beloved, it doesn't mean anything if you go through the motions. What you need is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the kingdom of heaven, you'll have both saved and lost individuals. The Lord Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them, Judas Iscariot, was not saved. You'll find that in many places. But then he said the kingdom of God is made up of only saved individuals. When he spoke these parables here, these folk that were religious, they had ears to listen, but yet they did not hear what he had to say. They had eyes to see, but yet, my friend, they did not see the things that the Lord was talking about. And so this morning, I want you to see with your spiritual eyes. For the child of God, he has four sets of eyes. He has two physical eyes, but then he has two spiritual eyes. He is able to see some things that are only spiritual things. Number one this morning, if you want to write them down, feel free to, and you can go back. We touched on this a couple of weeks ago. Number one, there's an unseen well. An unseen well. You find in Genesis 21 and beginning in verse number 16. For there the Bible tells us that Hagar, when she was cast out by Abraham, went out and would have died in the wilderness, had no water to drink, but the Lord spoke to her and showed her a well of water, an unseen well to the natural eye. And beloved, what I mentioned to you was this, is that the world is looking for some good water. They'll try everything to be satisfied. They'll try work. They'll try pleasure. They'll try entertainment. And yet, my friend, they come up empty, like the woman in John chapter number 4, where the Bible said that she went to the well wanting to draw from the water. But there sat Jesus on the side of the well and said unto her, "Woman, if you knew who it was, you would have asked of me, and I would have given thee living water, that you not come back to this well to draw from, or you be thirsty again." My friend, as a child of God, we need to be thirsty for the things of the Lord. We don't need to thirst after the things of the world, the things that will leave you empty, the things that will leave you hopeless, the things that are full of voidness. We need to thirst and hunger for the things of God. But then second of all this morning, here's where we pick up with Turn with me, please, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22. I find an unseen sacrifice in Genesis chapter number 22. For the sake of time, I'll not read the verses, all the verses to you. But Abraham took his son, his only son, Isaac, and one morning, as God had instructed him to take his son up to the top of the Mount Moriah and there offer him as a sacrifice unto God. Here was a man, Abraham, had a promised son by the name of Isaac. Isaac, my friend, was the chosen one from whence all the nation of Israel, all of his descendants would be as the sand of the sea. They would be as the stars of heaven. And now God said unto him, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to offer him on an altar on the top of Mount Moriah. He did not question God, but he looked over at his son and said, boy, we're gonna go worship on top of the mountain. And once we worship, then we shall return. Listen to me. I believe that morning he got up, kissed his wife Sarah, and said, Sarah, we'll be back. Me and the boy, we'll return unto you. You see, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that Abraham had enough faith to believe that if he plunged the knife in the heart of his son, that God could raise him up again. And so that day they got up to the mountain. Abraham looked over to the servants and said, tarry ye here. Now watch this. I and the lad will go to the top of the mountain, and I and the lad shall return unto you. He told the servants to stay down at the bottom of the mountain. He and Isaac began a journey up that rocky hillside. Isaac had the wood. Isaac had the fire. Abraham had the knife. And as they journeyed up the side of that hillside, Isaac looked over at his daddy and said, Father, I don't mean to bug you. I don't mean to be so inquisitive. But Father, did we not forget something? Why, we've got the wood for the sacrifice to build the fire. We've got the fire in hand. We've got the knife. But Father, where is the lamb? That's what he said. Where's the lamb? Abraham looked over at his son there, Brother Steve, and Abraham made a prophetic statement. Abraham looked at Isaac and said unto his son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. In other words, God will be the sacrifice. And there, as they got to the top of the mountain, the altar was fashioned. Now hear me. If you don't get anything else, if we don't get them other 5 points, don't worry about it. Abraham took his son. And Sister Gail, I don't believe that boy fought him. I don't believe that he questioned him, because he knew his father's will. And Abraham said, son, I need to bind your hands behind your back. And I believe that elderly man, I believe tears began to course down his face, for he knew what he had to do. Brother Steve, I believe he bound his hands. He said, now, son, I'm going to lay you on this old wooden, on this old stone altar here. We've got the wood underneath. We've got the fire in hand. And son, I'm going to have to plunge this knife down in your heart. But he said, don't you worry, for I'll meet you in the resurrection. Boy, isn't that a hope? How many of you have lost? I say lost, let me rephrase that. How many has had a loved one that has passed on? They're over in the portals of heaven. Would you lift your hand up? My friend, I got good news for you. Because of the resurrection, you'll see them again. Amen? They're not sleeping somewhere in the grave. They're not floating somewhere in outer space. Thank God they're residing in the celestial city of God. Now watch this. I believe as he laid his son on that altar, and he took the knife in his hand and perhaps stood above him and lifted the knife and was getting ready to plunge it into his heart. Now I believe as he started down, the angel of God stayed his hand and said, Abraham, I see your faith. And he said, now wait just a second. Look over in the thicket. And he said, in the thicket. Now by the way, there's so many pictures. There's so many pictures. But when Isaac was carrying the wood on his back up the side of the mountain, a picture of the Lord Jesus carrying the cross for you and for me. When he got to the top of the Mount Moriah, it is the same mountain range. It is the northern end of Mount Calvary where the Lord Jesus suffered and bled and died. Listen, my friend, what's the meaning of Christmas? Why did Jesus come? Why was he born of a virgin? Why did he come down here? Because he loved you and me and went to Calvary and died in our place. If it had not been for his first coming, you and I'd be hopeless. Listen, if it had not been for his first coming, we'd be wasting our time this morning. If it had not been for his first coming, we'd all be going to a devil's hell. But thank God he came, born of a virgin, escaped the sin curse. He wasn't born like you and I. We're born with a curse on our head. We're born as Adam's descendant. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. How many this morning, by saying an amen, you would agree with me that all in this room are going to die? Say amen. Unless the rapture takes place. How many of you would agree with me by saying amen, boys and girls, young and old, men and women, that because we're going to die, there's a price tag on our head? Say amen. But my friend, may I tell you, the good news is that Jesus loves you. For God so loved the world. Put your name in there. For God so loved Rodney. For God so loved Tiffany. For God so loved Gail. For God so loved James. For Frank. Thank God he loved me. If I had been the only one, he would have come for me. He would have died for me. If I was the only one. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Brother Jeffrey, may I ask you a question? You love that little baby, don't you? You love Jeremiah with all your heart, don't you? Would you be willing to give your baby up for a murderer, for somebody that's killed a dozen people? Would you be willing to do that? But God loved us more than he loved his own son. And my friend, when you look at that Christmas tree, it's the present not under the tree, but it was the present on the tree when the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And there Abraham, the Bible said, take the ram that's caught in the thicket. You see, listen, hear me out. I never understood this for a while. Brother Rodney, help me out now. Have you ever messed up? Have you ever sinned? Yeah. Had she ever done anything wrong? Yeah. I figured. I'm not going to ask Travis. But now, Brother Rodney, let me ask you this. As a daddy, you got two children. If they ever done something wrong and they come back and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. It's okay. You're forgiven. There's been time, Brother Brawley, when I was growing up, that I'd say to my dad, I'm sorry. And he'd say, all's forgiven. But God couldn't do that, Brother Steve. When Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden, and you say, that was just a one time they messed up, one time they disobeyed God. Why didn't God just say, hey, we'll just start over, wipe the slate clean, we'll forgive you, and all's good. No. Sin must be paid for. either you pay for it when you die and go to hell, or either you let the Lord Jesus pay for it. I'll take the latter instead of the first. And Abraham took the ram and offered it in the stead, in the place of his son. Thank God there was an unseen sacrifice. I've never been to Calvary. I've never been to the Holy Land. I've never been to Israel in this body. But thank God I've made the journey of journeys. By faith, I've walked up Calvary's mountain. By faith, I've knelt beneath the cross. By faith, I've looked up and seen the face of the Son of God. By faith, I've seen the scourging. By faith, I've seen the nails in his hands. By faith, I've seen them take him down and place him in an empty tomb. By faith, I've seen him risen from the dead. By faith, I believe in the Son of God. And by faith, I'm saved. Unseen sacrifice. And I've never seen him. But by faith, these spiritual eyes, I've seen him. Number two, not only there's an unseen sacrifice, but there's an unseen God. In Genesis 28, Jacob here ran from God. There's the story. I'll not take time to read all about it. But in Genesis 28, Jacob ran from God. It's a sad day when any boy, any girl runs from God. It's a sad day. Listen. Some of you may be running from God today. Some of you today, the Holy Ghost of God has touched your heart. There's folk praying for you. Instead of running away from God, run to Him. You'll never find peace until you run toward God. But Jacob ran from God. The Bible said that night, oh, an awful night, he laid down. He was so tired, he took a rock and made a pillar out of it. My friend, I don't know about you, but that's pretty tired. When you can take an old rock and make a pillar out of it. The tiredest I think I've ever been. We were cooking a Brunswick stew one time, the church I pastored. And man, I was so tired. Been up all day and half the night. We had a concrete floor. No, it didn't have no tile on it. I went in there and laid down on the concrete floor and went to sleep. I thought about old Jacob when I thought about that. He took a pillar. He took a stone, made a pillar out of it. My friend there that night, he dreamed a dream, and he saw a ladder extending unto heaven, and he saw the angels coming down. And the Bible said unto him, and behold, I'm with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I've done all that I've spoken to thee of. Surely the Lord is in this place. And Jacob said, I'll call this place Bethel, the house of God. And thank God when Jacob, when he ran from God, and when God appeared unto him, Jacob said, I didn't have my eyes open. I didn't see those things physically, but I saw them spiritually. And thank God, he said, the Lord said, I'll be with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. When the going gets tough, and you don't have any bread to eat, and you don't have any meal in the barrel, thank God he'll never, ever leave you alone. I'm glad the Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. How many with an amen would say we're living in troublesome times? Say amen. Paul said that in the last days we'll have perilous times to come. We need to be able to know the presence of God for the way. But then let me give you a couple others and I'll let you go on. There's the unseen angel, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 15. There's the servant of the Lord. And here the Bible said Elisha was facing a great enemy, was facing the Assyrians. And his servant came to Elisha and said, Elisha, what are we to do? We're outnumbered. We cannot fight this battle. They're more than we are. We're going to die. Elijah said, son, take courage. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord our God, He goes before us and He fights our battles for us. Aren't you glad today? Regardless of what may come up in your way, regardless of what the enemy may throw at you, regardless of what the devil may have for you, I am glad that God fights my battles. There's no weapon that's formed against me that shall prosper. There's greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. And thank God the devil is a defeated foe. He may fight, but thank God we're on the winning side. I just said to his servant, he said, let me just pray a little bit. And he said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. And when he walked out and he opened his eyes, he saw a great company of angels. And so many, my friend, that the armies of the Assyrians could not stand against them. I'm glad to tell you, though the devil may fight, God give us spiritual vision. God, help us to see that we are more than conquerors and that we are on the winning side. When it's the darkest before the dawn, when it looks like all hell is breaking loose, when it looks like the devil is fighting against you, thank God you are on the winning side. You are more than conquerors. You are victorious through him. Paul, the disciple, was on board ship, and God had already told him, Paul, you've got to go before Rome. On board ship, it looked like the ship was going to go down. Paul was down below deck. There were 275 sailors on board that ship. And I believe they were experienced men. I believe they knew what it was to pull the riggings. I believe they knew what it was to try to lighten the load. I believe they knew what it was to try to weather the storm. But they did everything in their power, and still the ship was going down. And Paul come up from underneath, and he stood up on deck, and them men had not had a bite to eat in 14 days. And he said unto those 275 seasick sailors, he said, fellas, be of good cheer, for I have just heard from God, and all's going to be well. You know where are you going to get your victory at? You're not going to get your victory out yonder. You're going to get your victory when you go down in the hold of the ship and you get alone with God and you get on your knees before the Lord and God gives you an answer to your prayers. Thank God. He'll come up victorious. Old Paul came up and he said, hey, it's time. Let's break out something to eat. You guys haven't had a thing to eat in 14 days. You're looking awful pity. He said, God has told me the ship is going to be okay. All things are going to be all right. And friend, I got news for you. In 2012, in 2013, everything's going to be all right because the master hadn't lost a ship yet. He hadn't gone down with the ship yet, and never will. Let me give you one or two more and we're done. In Luke chapter 24, I'll just give them to you and I'll finish up. There's an unrecognized stranger. In Luke chapter 24, it's the resurrection. After the resurrection, 3 days later, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene and two other women, two disciples, met with a stranger as they walked down the road to Emmaus. They talked to him. I believe they probably said, they looked over and this stranger, they didn't recognize him. They said, did you hear what happened just a few days ago? Well, tell me about it. There was a man called Jesus. They beat him to a pulp beyond recognition. They pulled his hair out of his beard. They beat his face to where he didn't even look like a man. They took him up on top of that mountain. You see that mountain yonder? They took him up on top of that and they laid him down on a cross and they nailed him to the cross. And there they suspended him between heaven and earth. And the sun went black as sackcloth of hair. For 3 hours, there wasn't a ray of sunshine. And then that man on the cross began to utter 7 phrases. The last thing that he said was, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. He cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. Mister, they took that man off the cross. They put him down in a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb that he had not used. It was a brand new tomb. No man had ever been laid in it. And they He gave it to them to put that body in. They wrapped that body and they placed it in there. Mister, it's been now over 3 days. And you know what, mister? They say he's alive. They say he's alive. And as they walked down the road to Emmaus, they began to talk to that stranger. I believe as the light began to dim and the sunlight began to go and the sun began to set, they invited the stranger to come spend the night with them and to break bread with them. And there as he entered into the house, they sat down together. That unrecognized stranger, they did not know who he was. They broke bread, their eyes were open, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you may grow discouraged. Hear me out. Life is not always a bowl of cherries. Neither is it a box of chocolates. Sometimes life, my friend, is not fair. Somebody said one time, preacher, life is just not fair. And I said, you're exactly right. Life is not fair. The only fair thing I know is it comes to town once a year and you pay money and you go ride the rides. That's the only fair I know. Life is not fair. You look around and you can get discouraged. The psalmist said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I got discouraged. Why is it that they have more than what their hearts could desire? They're increased with goods. They have no need of nothing. And he said, here I am. I'm just a poor pauper. And I saw the wicked and they prospered. You'll see that. You'll see those folk out yonder when it comes Christmas time. They have more than their hearts could ever desire. And you can get discouraged. And my friend, but thank God we serve a risen Savior. And because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And my friend, I remind you that eye hath not seen nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. There is coming a brighter day. One day that I'll breathe my last breath. One day that I'll preach my last message. One day that I'll pray my last prayer. And the Lord of glory will call me home. The last thing I'll see down here on this earth is trouble. But the first thing I see on the other side is peace and rest. What a promise of God to know that one day these eyes shall behold Him. We shall see Him as He is, the King of glory. The last thing I give you is an unseen enemy. An unseen enemy. Did you know this morning there was an enemy that rode with you to church? Did you know this morning there is an unseen enemy that stalks you? Bible said over in Jeremiah, for death has come up into our windows. Death has peered out its next victim. Who would it be? You pick up the newspaper and you open it up, and the older you get, you have a tendency to look at the obituary column first. You want to make sure your name is not there. But my friend, the enemy that you face and the enemy that I face is an enemy of death. Here's what the Bible said in Luke chapter 12. He spoke a parable unto them, talking about a certain rich man. And the Bible said that this certain rich man had plenty of goods. In fact, he said to himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And this is what I want you to hear. Then whose shall those things be? Then whose shall those things be? I don't know how many of y'all, I like going shopping at the GW. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody shop at the GW? Raise your hand high. The GW, the Goodwill, the thrift stores, the Salvation Army. I like going to the, my daughter said the other day, Dad, you're getting obsessed with this. I kind of like going finding bargains. But you know what? The thing of it is, it many times you go in there and you may be looking at something and all of a sudden you realize that these clothes, somebody else wore them at one time. these shoes, somebody else. I don't know if they're living or deceased, but one thing's for certain. When you breathe your last breath, and whose will those things be that you leave behind? Whose gun is that going to be? Whose car is that going to be? Whose house is that going to be? What will it matter when you breathe your last breath? Then whose shall these things be? Somebody else is going to be driving it. Somebody else is going to be living in it. Somebody else is going to be wearing it. There's an unseen enemy. Nobody ever expects to die. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you expect to die this week? I guarantee you there's not a person in here. You don't expect to die. But death is coming calling. It's going to knock on your door. You're not going to be able to resist. It's an unseen enemy. It may be on a highway one night. It may be sitting at home one night. And all of a sudden a pain hits you in your chest. You don't know when it's coming, but it's a coming. Are you prepared? You say, preacher, I'm not afraid of death. Are you prepared to die? I preached many a funeral in my day. Over 40 years in the ministry, I preached more funerals than I have weddings. And I would guarantee you some of the saddest funerals I've ever preached are people that didn't expect to die. I preached funerals. I preached one funeral where the little boy was shorter than this table up here. He's only 12 years old. I preached funerals of people before that been shot. I preached funerals of people before that in the service people would squall because that was the last time that they would ever see that body of that loved one. They were gone. My friend, what I'm saying is there's an unseen enemy that's going to come and knock on your door one of these days, and he's going to say, oh, you can't resist me. I have hold on you. You cannot resist and stay any longer. Do you know Jesus? For he is the reason for the season.